You are listening to the podcast series for Mission to Amish People. Mission to Amish People is a Christian ministry with a threefold purpose of evangelizing and discipling Amish and former Amish, helping Amish people who leave their communities by helping them transition into the English world, and by presenting the ministry to churches nationwide. You can find out more about Mission to Amish People by going to their website at www.mapministry.org. Today's message is an audio conversation with John Regeer discussing sexual abuse. This is part 1 of 4.
All right, welcome. There's 44 callers on right now with guest John Regeer. He's an author and conference speaker. He's a pastor for 24 years and now has a counseling office in Colorado Springs. And he's done a lot of counseling. He uses the Bible to find solutions to help individuals and couples and experience the freedom that God planned for them. So welcome to all of you and to Mr. Regeer.
Thank you.
I'll pray, then I'll ask a couple introductory questions, then we'll open it up to see if any of you have any questions. So Father, thank you for this evening and the time of Mr. Regeer, the callers who want to hear you. So may we hear you tonight with all the sin and difficulty in this world. Thank you that you provide hope and you provide the answer and the healing and the victory over sin. So may we learn and may we look to you, and thank you for the wisdom that you've given, Mr. Regeer. And may all who are looking for the hope and help find it tonight in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so this is a topic tonight with Counselor John Regeer about sexual abuse, a topic that's probably hidden a lot, not talked about openly a lot, but a lot of people need to find some healing through this. So, Mr. Regeer, can you begin by just explaining what sexual abuse is and how you define it?
Okay, I'd like to begin by reading some verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2. For you know what commandment we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passions like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man trespass and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. When you ask the question, what is sexual abuse? Sexual abuse is when a person is taken advantage of by another through lust, inappropriate touching, fondling, or sexual activity. Approximately 40% of girls in the U.S. At this point are being sexually abused, and about 20% of the boys growing up have been sexually abused. The interesting thing in the passage I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, specifically verse 6, where it talks about defrauding. Defrauding means to steal something that doesn't belong to you. And in sexual abuse, the perpetrator steals the purity and the beauty of a person. They take that away in sexual abuse, so the person is damaged emotionally. And often that damage carries with them through years in their life because they don't know how to resolve that issue. So in answering your question, sexual abuse advantage of another through lust or inappropriate touching or fondling or any sexual activity where a person is emotionally damaged.
Okay. What are some ways that a person may be damaged by sexual abuse? You already talked about that some, but is it just physically, or what are other ways?
Okay. I have a list of 8 different ways that I have found personally just in working with people have been sexually abused. It's more than just a person being raped. That is sexual abuse. But sexual abuse goes beyond that. When one person lusts after another person, that person feels violated even though no touching has occurred. So I've often found that people who lust emotionally damage other people, and often I find people in my office say, I just have difficulty going to church because other individuals are lusting after me, and I know they're doing that, and I feel violated by that. The second way a person is sexually abused is through inappropriate touching, touching in sexual areas when it's not a husband and wife in an appropriate marriage relationship touching. The third is through sexual relationships, and this includes rape. 83% of girls that are dating don't want premarital sex, but they give in because of the pressure from the boy that they're dating. The fourth is exposure to pornography. When a person sees pornographic pictures, that can sexually abuse them. A fifth way is when a person is another person exposes themselves to them. I've often found, for example, young people, children, somebody like a cousin, a neighbor, exposing themselves to them, and that emotionally damages them later. Or when parents expose themselves to their children, I've seen children that are emotionally damaged in their marriage and kind of respond in their marriage because the parents expose themselves in the home inappropriately. The sixth is oral or anal sex. That sexually abuses individuals when those homosexual acts of sex are practiced outside of the marriage or in the marriage relationship. The seventh is reading pornographic materials can sexually abuse a person. And the last one, often a dominant person takes advantage of a submissive person and pressures them into sexual activities that the submissive person doesn't want, and they're violated by that. So these are the eight different ways I've found that people in my practice have been sexually abused.
All right, that's a lot. So for those of you who have just joined, we're on with guest John Regeer, a counselor. There's 78 callers right now, and there's a question. What changes about a person when they have been abused?
Well, the changes are different with a child or with an adult. Often a person's thoughts change about themselves when they're sexually abused. Like a young person, like a young lady might say, no man will ever want me if they know what I've experienced in being sexually abused. Secondly, their thoughts about sexuality become warped. They often hate sex, hate men, can't respond. And I've had a lot of wives coming into my office who say, I don't know why God created sexuality. It feels so dirty and horrible. And those thoughts come because of the emotional damage from sexual abuse. Sometimes a person gets very angry or dominant to protect themselves. 90% of women who are sexually abused will become 90%+ dominant, 90%+ angry, and 95% will get divorced because their husbands can't deal with that pressure. But they're dominant and angry because of the emotional pain they've experienced in the sexual abuse. And so they have to become stronger than the person violating them, and that's why that develops. 10% of women sexually abused just become passive and emotionally close their heart off because of the pain. A person that's sexually abused often will either hate sex or become promiscuous. 85% of prostitutes were sexually abused, and that's why they're involved in prostitution. So
wow.
When you look at a child who's been sexually abused, often their grades go down, they don't want to talk to anybody, they get depressed, they shut down, and emotionally they just seclude themselves away from others and emotionally die inside. And I often meet those people 30 years later when no one has understood or cared about what they've experienced in sexual abuse.
Oh, so there's a lot of hurting people out there.
Right.
So we're on.
Everybody's
with...
different in regard to how they respond and how they respond to the damage of being sexually abused, and obviously the way they were sexually abused is different as well.
This is John Regeer, our guest with Caring for the Heart Ministries, and first conference call was Justified by Faith, and the second one was The Fruit of the Spirit. And then this current one we'll have on, so you can dial the phone number, which is 641-715-3800, and enter the PIN number 89752. So dial 641-715-3800, and the PIN number 89752, and you can choose which recording to listen to. So we have a question, so go ahead with your question.
How do you heal a heart that is sexually abused?
What has to happen if someone has been damaged is somebody has to take the time to sit down and ask them what happened and what emotional pain they experienced, and then lead them in a prayer. Let me use an example. That's a good question. If a person, for example, was sexually abused by a neighbor boy, let's say when they were 10 years of age, you get the information, and best if a girl works with a boy, but you ask the question, you know, tell me what happened, what you've remembered. Some people won't remember all the details because they've disassociated and lost memory because it's too painful. So you have to help them, and you know, understand that. Once you understand what happened, and then secondly, identify the pain, and some people feel dirty, they feel violated, they feel used, they feel humiliated, they feel like worthless. And I have a chart in which I define all the different pain words people feel when they've been sexually abused, and I have them check those off. Once I have that information of what happened and the abuse, then we're ready to pray. And what I recommend, because the individual is struggling with a pain issue, that you lead them in a prayer. Like, Jesus, I was damaged at age 10 by a neighbor who took advantage of me, causing me to feel dirty, violated, used, humiliated. Jesus, can you draw a picture of my heart damaged by that? And you wait for the Spirit of God to draw a picture. They might see their heart shattered or destroyed or dirty or black. Jesus, how would you heal my heart from that? And wait for Jesus to prompt healing to their heart. Jesus, how would you make my heart clean from that? Now, when you ask that question, Jesus can respond with a verse of Scripture, a Bible story, a picture, or a thought that would bring healing. And when you use this method, they lose about 80% of their pain in one session. That's average. Some people lose all of it. Some people lose 50% of their pain, and you lead them in a prayer. But only Jesus can change the heart and bring healing to that particular heart. Do you have any other questions in regard to that?
Do you counsel single girls?
Because I'm a man, I don't counsel single girls alone. If I'm counseling a single girl, I have another girl in the office with me. And that girl, I basically share with that girl what to ask the other girl. So in the prayer, I actually use the other person to care about their heart, so I'm not connecting with them. So the only reason I would counsel a girl is if I have another girl in that assists me in the counseling process. It's better if a lady counsels a girl that's been sexually abused.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you wanted to give your contact information, Mr. Aguirre, in case somebody wanted to call your office.
Okay. Our phone number is 719-572-5550. And I'm going to be referring to three sheets. The one I just referred to was chart number 40, in which I define the different pain words people experience in sexual abuse. So if anyone would like to receive that pain word sheet, they just have to call or email our office, caringfortheheart.com, and ask for that resource. I'll be sharing three different pages this evening that you can order, and you can just ask for all three of them, or you can ask by their number, and we'd be glad to send it to you.
Okay, we have another question, so go ahead with your question if you'd like to ask.
I have a question, John. How rampant is sexual abuse in Christian American homes? You mentioned the percentages in homes across America, but what about Christian homes?
Basically, because of the access to pornography in the last 20 years, the problem within Christian circles is worse. Now, in the next call-in, we're going to talk about moral failure. Christians have a greater problem with pornography than non-Christians do. And my wife has a friend that works in a hotel in town here at Colorado Springs. And when they host a Christian organization, the pornography request for movies goes up three times the normal of just others. So in our Christian community, we have a problem morally that also filters down into sexual abuse, because the more men are exposed to pornography, the greater they're going to sexually abuse other people. Whether they, you know, whether men abuse homosexually or whether they abuse other women, they're going to want to take advantage of them because of what they've seen in pornography. 45 years ago, when I was growing up, you didn't have access to pornography unless you were in a large town, and there were only a couple places you could actually find it 45 years ago. With the access of computers, anybody can press buttons on a computer and be exposed to pornography, or their iPhone can watch all kinds of pornography. And part of the problem is that pornography is a $57 billion business. The average single man watches pornography 40 minutes, three times a week. That's 2 hours a week. Before the age of 30, they will have watched 2,000 hours of pornography. When you watch pornography, it's going to emotionally refocus you, and you're obviously going to damage other people with your access to pornography.
Go ahead with your question.
I want the address for caring for the heart.
The address for caring for the heart is 3545 American Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80917. 3545 American Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80917. And it's Caring for the Heart Ministries.
And I got another question.
Okay, go ahead.
How come the perpetrator never has any problems and the victim always has the motion damage or whatever?
The perpetrator is a person who's gotten involved in sexual activity. And usually when you get involved in sexual activity, your conscience is considered based on Romans 1, where you don't feel any guilt about what you're doing. The more sinful sexual activity you participate in, your conscience doesn't feel guilty about it. So when you take advantage, and like if you're a person is exposed to pornography and you watch pornography for periods of time, you don't feel that what you're doing is wrong. And you're right, the perpetrator gets all the problems because they're the ones being taken advantage of. And that's why we've got to understand and care for that person who's emotionally damaged through the sexual abuse.
Thank you for listening to this podcast series. Check out Mission to Amish People online at www.mattministry.org or keep up to date with us on Facebook and Google+. Thank you again and have a blessed day.